Something wonderful is taking place, as Brother Taylor said. And the devil is fighting. He doesn't like it. But nevertheless, it is taking place anyway. And God is blessing us anyway. Oh, the devil, he's doing everything that he possibly can to stop what we're doing for Christ. But nevertheless, God is overcoming him in leaps and bounds. I'm sorry that we're late. I didn't intend to be late. I got up this morning and the Lord let me know that I was going to go somewhere or be dealing with something today. And of course it worked out that way. We didn't attempt to. We didn't make any plans to. As a matter of fact, we would have gone, as you would say, just the other way. But nevertheless, God worked it out to where we had to take care of some things and was late getting back. I've been trying to get the plane straightened out for a long time, and seemed like that they just couldn't get the thing together. So the Lord sent me up today to the plane, and I talked to him the last day or two, and especially last night. And the Lord had showed me that he wanted the plane moved. And it was the devil that was holding the plane up. So I said, we're going to move the plane, and that's it. We're going to move the plane. I don't care what happens. We're going to move the plane. And everything happened. But we moved the plane. Everything happened. The man was so contrary until it was unreal. I mean, it just was unreal. It looked like he was determined to take the plane away from the brethren. And, of course, me and him had a few thoughts exchanged, you know. And when we did, he sent for the police. And, of course, I said, well, I saw it with me. Send for him. Be fine with me. So when he sent for him, I told the police the situation. And the police told him to shut up. And when we got through, the police was on our side, and he told me if I needed him, just call him. So we moved the plane. We had quite a bit of doings, but we moved the plane. As a matter of fact, your plane is sitting up here on the Monroe Airport, safe and sound with the new tires and wheels and whatever on it, brakes, and everything is fine. The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and that's what we had to do. The thing had to do with quite an outstanding event. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, this little article goes right along with our thoughts. 7th verse, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. What happened today had to do with this. And going up to get the plane, it was really an outstanding thing. And the things that I would say here concerning it to you, of course, some of you would be very foolish. And whereas the Bible said God has chosen the foolish and base things of the world to confound the wise, they'd be very foolish to you and you wouldn't understand them because it is a present day occurrence of things that we know and are acquainted with and that have effects on our lives. But for you that do understand, we went up to move the plane. Here is the middle of the week. The plane in the model had to do with Brother Branham, Commander. The wheels coming out of California had to do with Brother Branham. And Brother Ron being from California, having to do with it. Piloting the plane. And those wheels that we got from California for the plane was illegal. Not illegal in that they were illegal wheels, but it was illegal to fly them on this particular plane. And the man had sold them to us because people are flying. And I don't like to do things illegal. I like to do things within the radius of the law. So we didn't put them on. and in praying and asking God to do something about the plane while we was down in Florida, the brethren discovered some wheels down in the areas of Hialeah, which was where the angel of God appeared to us there at the change. I say again, that's where this acrylic came from. And in that they followed the thing right on through, as I related the other night, up to the boat, and then having to do with redemption. A strange thing happened because we were standing on the boat on the side where the water is, and standing there, I saw something, and I said within my heart, I said, if somebody was here, or whoever was here to take a picture, I feel that they would come up with the same thing they did at that baptism. And shortly after that, within a few hours, Brother Ron Clyde and Brother Don Clonix came up with those wheels right on the boat that come out of the place where they were legal, having to do with the change and the resurrection. And they came up right after I had considered that. Brother Don started taking pictures and whatever. And sure enough, when they developed the pictures, they found one of the pictures right in the middle of the boat with a glow, the same glowing light like it was down at the baptism over the boat, right in the middle of it. It's really something. But that, of course, having to do with the rapture, having to do with the redemption of the body, the boat just being finished up to where we could kind of take care of it now and preserve it. The plane, having the chain on it the way that they placed the chain on the props, had to do with the chains of death. Sitting down in a place like this, you know, go down a hill and sit down in a place is like in a grave, as you would say. And having to do with the wheels, Brother Branham, the year, the model, all those kind of things. And the devil for sure had it. It was just like death over the thing, in that it had been there for 15 months. It hadn't been flying around, and the devil had it in his control. And we had to go there and break that hold. And, of course, the thing was so beautiful that the law came out and stood right there by the plane on the top of the hill. And we overcome the law and folded it up and laid it away and run the devil off. Took the chains away. And the beautiful part was we brought it out in a resurrection. And the thing was so fascinating that right there at the top of the hill while the man was talking, he defied us in the sense of saying that we couldn't put fuel in it out of cans because of his insurance. So even down to the barrel and the insurance, it was all there. But anyway, we brought it out, and when we got it out, we began to, they call it bleed the brakes. And they needed cloth, and I thought, I got something, and I pulled out my handkerchief, and I handed it to them, and I watched them as they poured that fluid into the brakes, and it was red, and it stained my handkerchief red. And I don't know who noticed it or who didn't, but I watched it, and I thought the bleeding of the brakes, and the handkerchief, and the mantle, the catching up of the man-child, even to the coming over here, the California resurrection, Brother Branham, Brother Ron's dad being killed out near Phoenix City, Arizona. Just beautiful. Everything was so beautiful. And we came on back safe. I said, Brother Ron, we're going to have a safe takeoff, and we're going to have a safe flight, and we're going to have a safe landing. And I said, now, Lord, I don't want nothing to go wrong with the takeoff. There's no need of having a half-hearted takeoff that will be about half and half and could endanger us. I said, I want it to be right. I said, it's going to be right. And I said, the flight's going to be right. And I said, when we land, I said, it ain't going to be no half-hearted landing of coming in and half killing us or whatever. I said, it's going to be just right. And it was to a T. So the Lord brought it down real beautifully. Everything was just beautiful. And as I said, we're back here. And when we got back here, having to do with the scripture we read here concerning the house of David, when I come up, I thought about, now this has to do with the house of David, going back to Brother Branham and those things. And sure enough, George Jr. had come down from Carolina. He had already brought one bus down, parked it over near Dwight's bus, which had to do with the sounding of the trumpet, and the bus had come out of Oklahoma, and the bus that come out of Mexico, and the bus that we had that was connected with Brother Branham, and numbers of other things we'd have to go into. But nevertheless, he went and got another bus that was from Opryland. This bus had been an Opryland bus, and I felt sure that it was connected with us. I looked at it when I was up there, and Opryland has to do with what we're doing. As a matter of fact, we're just fixing to start our recordings. And it has to do with it. The typical thing of Opryland has to do with what we're doing. And then, of course, I think he's got another bus, maybe a Scenic Cruiser he's talking about getting, or they're going to let him have, or what, I don't know. He's got two or three buses. He's wanting to take the buses and charter them and put them into some kind of business and also use it for the different people here that would like to ride on the bus to tent meetings or down to the boat or wherever they'd like to go. Got something in his mind. I don't know just what. But nevertheless, everything worked just right. When I got back, I stepped on the bus just for a few minutes. I was coming straight to the church, but I felt that I should step on the bus for a few minutes, and I did. And all of a sudden, David got on the bus, and Brother Johnny, the security, got on the bus with the twins. And he worked out just perfectly in order with the other things that had taken place. He said here, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. The catching up of the man-child, the middle of the week, going up today, the resurrection, whatever, and coming over to the throne, which is here at Bethlehem, in that God promised a light to the sons of David forever, that there would not fail of David a man, or of his seed, a man to sit upon the throne. And so today has a great, wonderful significance. This day has as many other days and things that we've spoken to you about. It has great, wonderful significance. And coming here tonight, I apologize for being late. I want to read this scripture. I've read it many times, but I want you to think upon it as I read it. It is an outstanding scripture, but it has to do with what is happening to you. Now, I said there that God would not break his covenant in that he promised a light to the house of David. And this is the light he promised. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nourished at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, and the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Violence shall be no more, shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. The Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself from the, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisoners to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself. For your shame ye shall have, your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double everlasting joy, shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, they that are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her buds, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation of as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be crowned, be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You know, I was thinking, along with what I had said before I read the scripture, these things that are so fascinating, it was really something in that We had Ronald Reagan, the president, to come down to Atlanta, Georgia, in the last day or two. He came and he spoke before, I believe they said, 30,000 people. And he spoke at the bar of the law, and there was many, many lawyers. And I thought that was really something, because he had received our flag not too long ago. And if you notice, every president that usually goes in on this turn of numerical order usually is killed. And Reagan seemingly was killed by the bullet that ricocheted and hit him. And seemed like that thing that caused him to be arrogant and so hard was broken, and Christ came forth in the stead, and he became very godly and concerned about the things of God. And I thought it was really something, because he received our flag as a change for that, and then came down to Atlanta, Georgia, to the judgment bar, as we say, and spoke before the lawyers. And I made the statement, I said, you know, them lawyers will receive him and follow him. And somebody said, you know, Brother Pike said they applauded him so till he couldn't hardly continue his speech. So the law being folded up and laid away, as he made the statement, said, I sure hope that we can put prayer back into the schools. Said, for even our Congress opens their house with prayer. And he told of Abe Lincoln how that he had won a case at law, the only kind in the history of the law, how he had won both for, I believe it's defendant and plaintiff or whatever it is. I don't know just exactly what they call it. But anyway, he had won both ends of it. Won one case in the morning for this one, and then went that night and won the other one. And it's just never been heard of before, and he brought it out. But I thought it was really outstanding because of the union of body and spirit, the accused and the accuser coming together. And the elimination of it in the thing that Abe Lincoln done, he was one, I believe, that made the statement, a chain is no stronger than his weakest link, his name being Lincoln. But I thought that was really something, the president coming down after that I had had a chance to give a personal witness to the president concerning Jesus. We gave a personal witness to the President of the United States, and that we wrote him a letter. Not that we was in person, but we wrote him a letter, and he received the flag, he received the letter, but he himself personally did not receive it. It was they that was of his cabinet or whatever that look after those things that received it. But as time went on, and we went up to a place called Eden, right at that very time when we spoke of the restoration of the garden and what this has to do with today, the land of Eden, the Garden of Eden, right at that very time I received from the president a personal card or letter with his seal on it, and he was acknowledging my personal testimony of Jesus Christ to him and his life, and thanking us for the gift. So it was something that seal came in, that testimony came in. Those things happened right at that particular time. And then he comes down to Atlanta, Georgia, right here near Little Bethlehem. And folds up the law, as we say, and lays the law away right at the very time that all of these things happen. And I thought it was really striking and outstanding, because it has to do with going into Canaan, and into the wonderful things of God, even into Canada, even though I noticed a little hindrance here on the paper that has to do with nothing. But at any rate, God had spoken about an open door in Canada. And this very day, the Lord had dealt with me about something that had to do with 1,000, Sister Betty's acquainted with it. I spoke to you about it tonight when I come back home. But anyway, it was all so beautiful, and it had to do with Canada. It had to do with us going into Canada before Brother Waldron. It had to do with us going into Canada now. And it's just outstanding with the vision I had just a few nights ago concerning Brother Waldron and some things. So not to detail things that go into a long teaching or whatever, explaining, but just to compound or compact a few things together, to collect a few things and set it together that you can think on it. It is really astounding as to what is taking place today. It is really utterly amazing. But it is so beautiful for them that have the Spirit and them that know what is taking place in the Spirit. The Bible says, he that hath a spirit, or has the Spirit, or an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him listen. If he's the church, then let him listen. If he's got an ear for hearing, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And of course, today I've been listening to what the Spirit has been saying concerning the churches and what the Spirit has been doing in the churches. And today shows a perfect translation of the church, a glorification. And if you notice, the things I read, it spoke of where God had glorified you and what he would do for you. And your light now coming, and all of the people of the world will look unto you. You know, we just received a letter from out of, we received one from the leper's home that was really outstanding. My, how they did praise little Bethlehem and the things of God here and what was done, and spoke of it being the real true light of the gospel. Said, surely it is in the world today. And the letter that came forth out of Israel, from Bethlehem, there came forth a letter, and the brother that was there said, Brother Pike, we want to praise the Lord, thank the people, whatever, for the clothing that was sent here to Bethlehem. And said the people's heart was thrilled when they received these clothes from over here at Little Bethlehem, coming to Bethlehem where our Lord was born. And said, if anyone comes into the areas of Bethlehem, or Israel, please contact me. So it is wonderful, the thing that's happening, the clothes going down to old Mexico, the clothes going into India, the clothes going into Israel, the clothes going into a number of different places. It is so wonderful that offerings and blessings and ambitious doings from Little Bethlehem are being spread abroad around the world for a consolation to the needy and as a light shining throughout the world, that your faith may be spoken of throughout the world. What a wonderful thing. And even today, the great wonderful thing that's happening. My, how it is happening, how it has taken place. We that are carnal, we that are natural, we that are wrapped up in sorrows and problems and weights and disappointments and natural fatigue of life, we don't see this. We don't rejoice in this. We don't have a good time in the Lord in this. We don't have eyes to see. We don't have ears to hear. And the wonderful things that are being seen and taking place, you have no part in a lot in the matter so as to rejoice and have the abundance of the joy of God Almighty. But you are oppressed, you are sad, you are cast down, and you're looking in the wrong direction and you don't see when good comes. But to them that can see, and them that do see, them that have the eyes and ears to hear to see, they that are walking in this joy, in this splendor, in this magnificence, in this greatness, in this revealed wonders of God, now is the time to really, really enjoy your inheritance. For it is a true fact that your light has come, and the Lord God of heaven in his glory has risen upon you, and all of the isles of the nations of the world shall be converted unto thee. It is beautiful. I love it. I praise God for it. He said here in the book of Revelation chapter 3, he that overcometh in the fifth verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, that's really something. I will not blot your name out. Right now, I'm in the land of the living. Right now, I see and I breathe and I talk. And I enjoy looking and I enjoy eating and drinking and the wonderful inspiration of life. I enjoy this because I am in the land of the living. I am in the book of the living. And God says to you and I, if we will overcome and if we will do the things that he wants us to do, if we will do this, he said, I will let you continue to live. I will not blot your name out of the book of the living. I will not stop you from breathing. I will not stop you from seeing, and I will not stop you from hearing. I will not let you die. I'll let you pass from death unto life. And I will not blot your name out of the book of living if you will overcome. So then it's a wonderful thing to know tonight that we already are alive. And not only alive from our first birth, but having passed from death unto life, in that through Adam that is a death in the first birth. Now here we are in the land of the living, our names to never be blotted out. My name can never be blotted out of the book of the living. Passed from death unto life. You say, how can that be, Brother Pike? Well, the way that it can be is because I have passed from death unto life, even from the first birth and the curse. I passed from that over to this, in that I overcome. I overcome. We sang that song, I'll overcome, I'll overcome. I have already overcome. I've already overcome. I pass from death unto life, and my name will never be blotted out of the book of the living, because I overcame death. I pass from death unto life, and I'm alive forevermore. I've overcome. See, how did I overcome? The Bible said, and they overcome death. They overcome him, Lucifer, Satan, he that had the power of death. I overcame him, or they overcame him, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. They were born again. They believed in the works of Jesus Christ, the finished works of the Lord. Thus they overcame Satan. They overcame the tempter. They overcame evil. They overcame death. And in overcoming death, then they are alive forevermore. Can't you say hallelujah? You know what? Somebody would say, what are you talking about? I mean, that's what the plane had to do with today. When we broke the bonds of death and we took away the chains and we overcome the evil one and we came forth in the resurrection, the wonderful power of the glory of God, there we come forth into the land of the living and we overcome. And then we overcome, then that means that we can never die. And our names can never be blotted out of the book of the living. For he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of the living. And how can I overcome? The Bible said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. That is, they testified from their lips to the finished work of Calvary, even the spilt blood. And thus they overcame and received eternal life. For the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. And eternal life means to eternally live, that your name will not be blotted out of the book of the living. So then tonight we have the wonderful gift of eternal life. We've overcome. We have the wonderful things of God to embrace. And today has that great, wonderful significance. And even the thing that Ronald Reagan did as he went before the judgment bar, it had to do with that. The other night, Sunday, we preached on a Sunday morning. Everything was soft and tender, caressing, wooing and drawing, and God was drawing his people to him. And then on a Sunday night, we heard a voice and we saw no man. There was a voice that came forth in that they played a tape from the meeting over in Mexico. During this time, I was sitting over here on the chair where they have the word king over there. I was sitting over there on that chair, in that we had symbolically been caught up into that, in that what they had did and done in Mexico during the time that we was there had to do with the resurrection from the dead. And we spoke of it and read in the scriptures. They recorded it on the tape. Has anybody ever heard the voice of God speaking out of the fire as you people in Leo? So then the wonderful voice of God spoken, the wonderful things took place, the wonderful resurrection from the dead and the symbolic thing. And then we came back here, and on that night after that they had heard the voice, heard that had to do with the resurrection, then came forth a harsh, stern, straight, strict discipline of I don't want this and I won't have this and I will not tolerate that and it isn't going to be like this, and on and on and on, and God cast out and drove away and put away the wandering stars of them that were in that kind of condition, that resent, that find fault, that's ugly, that's degraded, that won't work with God. And he brought forth a judgment and called out and throwed away and throwed back the bad. So then, and then it went on to what we're doing here in the sense of the boat and the resurrection and the things that took place today, in that the plane is, as we say, back in Monroe. And it's sitting up there and everything is well. Brother Cobbs, Clyde, going over to Brother Correll's the other day also had to do with it, going over there. He was talking to Brother Correll, and he said, Brother Correll, I'd love to know what problem there is in that you're not at Bethlehem, in that you was with the people for quite a long while. And he said to Brother Cobbs, he said, Brother Cobbs, he said, nothing wrong with anybody but himself. And I thought, you know, Brother Ernie and the others, following that of Brother Branham, and the old harvest giving out. The old harvest giving out, in that Brother Ernie has held on to it, but instead of taking him through, it has given out to the extent that he hath no strength, and he has drifted off into idleness and unconcern, and spoke of having to get back to his steadfastness in God. And just before corruption, here, Brother Clyde, we say corn on the cob, the new harvest, goes over and deals with him, bringing him over the carnal mind, the redemption of the body, just before corruption. It's really beautiful in everything that we see. We look at those things and we see the Lord moving right before our very eyes. We see great and mighty things taking place right before our very eyes, multiplied things, and yet we don't fit them together and we don't see them and we're not quickened by them, we're not inspired by them, and we don't understand the wonderful voice of God that's ever moving in his wonderful will and in his wonderful way. So then I say again to you tonight in a little exhortation, the Bible says your light has come. What is your light? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Your light has come. The breaking forth of your light from your innermost vessel. The time of Gideon and the breaking forth of the little lamps has come. Gideon took the people, as you remember, he put them around the valley. He gave them a lamp, a little clay pitcher. Inside the little clay pitcher, it had a little candle. And they all gathered around this great valley where the alien powers was. And as they gathered around it, they took their little lamps. And every man, the Bible said, stood in his place. Every man waited for the command of one voice. And all of a sudden, Gideon gave a charge and a command to break these little clay pitchers. And all of them together broke the little clay pitcher, and out of the little clay pitcher came forth the light, and the people, being creatures of darkness to the extent that their eyes were adjusted to the darkness, the sudden light blinded them, and the armies of Gideon pounced upon the enemy and destroyed them. God worked it that he might do that very thing. So then it was a beautiful thing that God had done. He had broke the little clay pitcher. Now then your light has come. Time to break the little clay pitcher. The coming of the great light, that your innermost light might show forth even the kingdom of God and the radiance of Christ and the glorification within you. For he said, I have glorified thee. And we've come to this wonderful unveiling light of glorification and the acknowledgement that all of our sins are gone and death is behind us, and that we have no poverty, we have no sickness, we have no sorrow, we have no heartaches. All is well. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I've got plenty of pain, I've got plenty of poverty, I've got plenty of problems. But let me tell you something now, and I want you to think on this. Think on it now. In your body you may have pain. In your body you may have blindness. In your body you may have deafness. In your body, in your natural world, you may have problems. And you may be exiled from friendship, and you may be going through a great surge of oppression. And in your world, you might be in a terrible condition. But remember, if you acknowledge that, then you are a prisoner of circumstances. And you are a creature of that world, and you are in that mind, and you belong to it. But if you can, by faith, believe in the sound, healthy, whole body of Jesus Christ, of which you are, looking no more to that body of the past, of all the problems, but that body, glorious body of the future, which is that perfect body, that you live in it by faith in your mind, and you walk in it by faith in your mind, you'll find out that eventually you'll eradicate all of your problems, and besides that, living in that body, walking in that body, being in that body, and being part of that thing, you'll find out that you really have passed from death unto life, that you do have a new body, and you are a new creature, and great things have taken place, and you are glorified, because that body is resurrected from the dead to die no more. That body is glorified by the foreknowledge of God, and that body can never be afflicted again. So then it is healthy. The Bible said it is prosperous, it is blessed. Whereas the Bible said glory and honor and praise and majesty and power, all of this be unto that body of Jesus Christ and unto the Lord God of heaven. So then we find ourselves, as Paul said, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So it's a wonderful thing. Your light has come. The clay pitcher is broken at Calvary. Your light is broke forth in a unanimous thing to the extent that the devils and demons and the people of the world who are in darkness and intellectual reasoning are confounded, and they don't know how to fight you. They've lost their battlement and they've let down their guards and they don't know how to get at you. They don't know what to do. Because, you know, there's no need to stick a sword in a dead man. There's no need to blow the brains out of a dead man. You know, it's just a waste of time, and they don't know how to fight you because there's nothing to fight. And they don't know how to overcome you because you're overcoming them all the time. And they just don't understand it. You're overcoming evil with good, and you're establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. The wonderful knowledge of God is going forth, and they fight you, and they don't have anything to fight. And they find out that the weapon of your warfare is not carnal, and you bypass the carnal mind and go right straight to the source, in that you overthrow the enemy and disarm them, and they find that they have nothing to stand against you with. All of this is yours. Your light has come. The clay pitcher is broken by Calvary, and the unanimous surge of this great light spreading throughout the earth, the light of the evening time. As the Bible said, great light has sprang up to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Now the shadow of death is taken away. And we spoke the other night of the shadow of death and what it has to do with. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, spoke of it and how that God has eradicated it, and where we find ourselves at this very moment. Today is a great, wonderful day. This hour is a great, wonderful hour. Are you partakers of the benefit? Are you believers? Have you come thus far? Do you understand? Are you in this place? Have you entered into this city? Do you live in the rest of the Lord? Are you citizens of this wonderful world of God? So then it is so wonderful to be a Christian. The Bible said, arise and shine, for thy light has come. Do you believe what you have been taught? Do you live by faith and not by knowledge and not by feeling and not by word? Do you accept altogether just by faith what he has said, to the extent that it makes you the grand and glorious, everlasting, wonderful sons and daughters of God? And all of the world is but a shadow and but a wild imagination and a figment of imagination or vanity that will pass away. Just a hallucination. It's just something that will pass away. How do you know that it is? Have you passed from that? Are you walking in the ways of God and the light of God? You know, if you're not, then you need to get right with God. You need to think these things over, because as I said, today is an exciting day, and today has been a great day, and great things have been taken, and the chains have been broken, and life has at last come on the scene. You love Jesus? How beautiful. Let's stand together and sing a little chorus. Hope this little exaltation can do something for you. And most assuredly, if you can grasp what I'm saying and understand it, you will be thrilled beyond the wildest imagination. If you are not walking with God, then you will not see it. The Bible said, ye shall not see when good cometh. For having eyes, their eyes to see the things of the world. And ye shall not see when the good cometh. Eyes to see the things of the world. Ears to hear the things of the world. But not eyes to see when the good cometh. For having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not. Lest at any time ye should see and hear and be converted, and God should save you. And oh, what joy and jubilance and a good time you have in the world, having the love of the world within you. How thrilling it is to have the things of the world and the feelings of the world and the desires of the flesh. For thou art of the world, you hear the world, you see the world, you believe in the world, you want the world. And if the love of the world's in you, the love of the flesh, the love of the Father is not there. But if the wonderful love of God, of heavenly things and spiritual things and world activity for Christ Jesus and the wonderful, beautiful things of the life of Jesus, if they're in your heart, by faith, you've moved into a great world where you've denied the flesh, you're not in the flesh, you're not walking in the flesh, you're walking in the Spirit. And if so be that you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Being in the Spirit, it's evident that you pass from death unto life, because there is no death to the Spirit. Death is, of course, to the flesh. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it one more time now? For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. If you love the Lord Jesus, slip up your hands. Let's slip our hands up and love Jesus tonight. Oh, Ramanda Rama Shandri Andramanda Ramo Shandramanayo. Ulamasi Andoli Alamo Shandoli Andalamanayo. Andrama Karama Ramasi Andalamo Shandoli Atayo. Iandurama Shandri Andramanayo. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful, blessed, eternal name, Jesus. Thankful for your presence, and I'm thankful for your glory, and I'm thankful for your grace. Lord, because you have blessed us, you have loved us, you have led us. Oh, God, lead us through the pathways of righteousness. For thy name's sake, oh God, Forgive our sins, O God, and our mistakes, O God, and our unbecomingness. O God of heaven and of earth, lift up our hearts, lift up our minds. O God, and bless us tonight. Touch us with your great and wonderful Spirit. Grant it, O God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Grant it, Lord. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone. Folks, let's pray. Let's really pray. Something occurred not too long ago that really broke my heart. And I tried my best to talk to the individual, the young boy, and he wouldn't listen. And it happened a couple of times. And I told him that something dreadful was going to happen. I said, it'll be no little thing. It'll be a horrible thing because of what he did. And I told my wife, and they just brought us word that this has happened, that the boy has been hit in the chest in some way, and the doctor said within the next 2 hours, unless something happened, that his heart would burst and kill him, unless there is some way to touch God. That we really need to touch God. Let's just lift our hands up and for God's sake, pray that God will grant a miracle. Pray, folks. Really pray, whatever you do. I ask you to pray that God will grant a miracle and do something about this. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, if this report be true, and only you know whether it is or not, Father, but if it be true, for God's sake, be merciful. I know that you can do all things, Jesus. And I know that you are concerned. I know that you are greatly concerned. Great and mighty God of heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus that you look down from heaven, Lord, and don't let this boy die. Don't let him die, oh sweet loving Father. Don't let him die. Look down from heaven and do something, Lord, concerning this, oh God, to relieve this pressure. Whatever the case is, whatever it might be, Jesus, I ask you to look down from heaven. I beg of you and I plead with you, oh God, to look down from heaven and grant life. Grant life, oh precious God. Grant life. I know that you're hearing our prayer. I can tell right now that you're hearing our prayer. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, grant it, Lord, that there might be life and there might be healing and that the boy might be spared. Grant it, oh God, grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant it here from heaven. Great and mighty Father of heaven, great mighty Spirit of heaven, Father, hear our prayer. God, as we believe, as we join together to accept it in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise God. You know, sometimes things get severe, folks. I remember George Jr. a number of months ago. I kept talking to him, trying to get him to do something and not go contrary to God, and he just kept on doing it. And he wanted to take a trip, and I told my wife, I said, he ought not to do it. I told him, I said, it ain't going to be well with you. the trip ain't going to be well with you because God is not in it to the extent that it's going to prove to be your hurt. And some of you know the problems he encountered, and as he was on that great, huge dam, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of it or not, on that great, huge dam hanging off the side of it, it goes down like this, hanging off the side of it, painting or doing whatever. He was way down on the cable. And it's such a tremendous, tremendous ways down to the bottom. And all of a sudden something happened to the saddle that they used to hang on the wall in. And he found himself dangling there. And he told me later, God saving him by prayers, he said it like to scare him to death. And he said that he had to grip so hard in holding that cable as he got help that he broke, I believe he broke some of his fingers or something in here, holding on. And he said when he got to the top of the dam, he just fell down on his face and kissed the earth, I believe, or the top of the dam or whatever it was. So grateful to be saved. See, you can do such a little thing and reap such a bad reward from it. I feel sorry for the man of today that we talked to. I really do. I feel sorry for him. I could feel hurt. I could feel bitter at him because of the evil he did to me. But nevertheless, I love his soul and I feel sorry for him. And I hope by some miraculous means, though he's dealt me evil for good, I still pray that God somehow or another will deal merciful to the man, knowing that a tremendous thing will happen to him. I pray that God will deal merciful in it and spare the man's life and soul and bring the man to his senses and make him realize his foolishness before it's too late. And I trust that you'll keep praying about this thing that came to us tonight, this report. And boys and girls, young folks and whatever, for God's sake, listen at us. Listen to the voice of the warning and listen at the things of God, and don't mess with folks at Bethlehem. Don't mess with these things out here. You men and women, you boys and girls, for God's sake and for good, godly, sensible reasoning, for the soul's sake and for your welfare, your children, your own body, your sanity, your health, your finance, for God's sake, get away from this place and leave this place alone if you're not going to try to benefit by it or try to do something for it or try to conform to it. Don't go off saying things and gossiping and rebelling and backbiting. For the Lord's sake, have enough understanding to know that you're going to destroy yourself in that quick. So many of you have felt the wrath of God and sorrows, and so many more is going to do it unless something is quickly done. So get your thoughts right. Don't sit in this congregation and think wrong thoughts and reason against this and reason against what God's doing. You'll find out later that you was all out of sauce and you didn't know what you was thinking, in the sense that you was wrong, and then you'll be sorry of it while you, as you're so sure at that moment that everything is the way you think it is. But you'll be so sorry later because you'll pay for it. Some of you reason even tonight that I'm still wrong, but you'll see, even as this horrible situation right now, you'll see that I told you, and you'll find out that you didn't know, though you're so sure that you didn't know. The Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. Brother Branham said he got into a situation one time and was lost up in the mountains. The snow got him and he couldn't find his way back to camp, even to his wife or whoever. Said, I couldn't. Said, I thought I knew those woods. Said, I was so sure that I knew where I was going and what I was doing and I knew my way back. He said, but when I got lost, he said, I heard a voice say, when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. So I tell you tonight, be careful, friend, whatever you do. The person that this happened to was so positive that they knew, and I tried to tell them they didn't, but they were so positive that they did. that they wouldn't listen. Let's pray tonight for these. If there's anybody else that would love to come up and have prayer, if you'll come up, we'll pray for you. As a matter of fact, if you'll come up, we'll just take all of you together here as we stand together and just join together in a prayer, one for another. If you'll do that, pray that God will do something for the cause of Christ and that He'll do something for your home, your companion, your loved one. Just pray that God will do that. And ask God to do something about the situation. It's time, folks, that we really got down to business with God. Did you know that? I mean, it is time. I've said that a lot of times because it has been time. But I mean, it's time. It's like a letter that somebody got from Brother Branham's office a day or two ago. Billy Paul wrote it. And I picked it up and I noticed it stated, Billy Paul said, you know, said, according to what Dad said, it looks like that time is at hand. Said, according to what Dad said, it looks like that. She's drawing nigh. So then, let's just remember that these things that are taking place are nothing less than astounding, and that these things have great, great significance concerning your lives and concerning the kingdom of God. And that if you're ever planning to do anything for God, you'd better do it. We say this every once in a while. It's now or never. The weeding out time has come. The separating time has come. Have you noticed how people will pout, get mad, have a temper, run off, say I'm leaving, I'm going to do such and such? And did you know that a few months ago, they wouldn't have dared said that. A year or so ago, you couldn't have drug them away. But see what it is, God's hardening their heart like Pharaoh. That time of sorrow, that time of heartaches, that time of separation, it's come. Now let's just lift our hands up together. Let's pray for this precious little baby tonight, for the sister and these two sisters that came. And let's pray for the brothers and sisters, and remember again this desperate request. Oh, if it was your loved one, you could imagine how you would feel. So just lift your hands up. Father God of heaven, once again, as the people gather here at the altar, I do ask of you, precious Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive the sins of the individual that's in great danger right now. Michael, Father. Grant it. Oh, great and mighty God. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Father, for your glory. Grant it. Hear from heaven and grant it in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Grant it. And heal tonight. Father, grant healing to these people that are standing here tonight. Father, grant healing to these people. Father, heal their bodies tonight. Heal their bodies. I feel you healing their bodies right now. Father, heal them and give them peace and rest in their spirit. Take away the oppression. Prosper them and bless them, Lord. Bless their loved ones. Take away the fears, the frustration. Stop the evils in the homes. Dear God, save their loved ones and heal their sick bodies. For Christ's sake, in Jesus' name tonight. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless this precious little baby tonight. Dear God, touch this little body. Heal this little body. Father, heal it. I feel you healing right now. Heal it in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Father, grant your blessings tonight to each individual. Grant your favor to each individual. Let us all together tonight understand, Father, learn to love one another and to work together, Father, for world evangelism and the world outreach, to hear the praises from the people as we are hearing it from around the world. to glorify Christ within our hearts and lives. Grant it in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Let's sing this little chorus together. I feel God tonight. I really feel God tonight. We're going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter these courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice for he hath made us glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. One more time here. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter his courts with praise. And I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Has Jesus made you glad tonight? I want you to lift your hands up if Jesus really has made you glad. If tonight you really, truly, down in your heart feel that you are a son or a daughter of God or you're a Christian, I want you to lift your hands up and I want you to praise the Lord tonight. If you really, truly believe that you are a son of God or that you're a Christian, I want you to praise God tonight. I want you to lift your hands up and praise God. If you really feel like that you're going in what we call the rapture, or if you're going to make it into the kingdom of God, I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to praise God tonight and acknowledge your sonship tonight and your righteousness in Christ. And I want you to search your heart tonight and say, oh God, is it true that the hour has come that my light shall shine? Father, do I really have a light? Am I one of those that have a light, Father? Will my light actually shine? God, have I really got a light to shine? I want you to lift your hands up tonight and I want you to praise God. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. God, we do praise thee tonight. We do give thee glory tonight. We give thee honor, oh God. We lift up our voices in praise to thee. Because we believe that we've got a light. We believe that the time of our light has come, Father. And dear God, that our light will break forth all throughout the world. I ask you tonight to bless. Dear God, bless these people tonight. May your spirit be upon them tonight, God. And may they receive that wonderful refreshing from Christ. May the glory of God spread over them tonight. And dear God, may bodies be healed, may yokes be broken. And Father, may there be rejoicing in the wonderful presence of the living God tonight. Let the light shine forth and let healing and health come. Father, let blessings and prosperity come to these people. And oh God, let determination come to be more like Jesus and to conform to the wonderful image of the Son of God. Bless this church, God, and bless these people. And oh God, bless these grounds. And dear God, bless throughout the world tonight. Open the world's doors tonight to evangelism. Oh God, that from Bethlehem and from these people, great and mighty faith may take place and great and mighty things may take place. May thy spirit, O God, move out around the world tonight. And dear God, from day to day, from Bethlehem, may the scriptures, Father, may the literature of Christ flow from this place. God, may there be a testimony in every part of the world coming from little Bethlehem. Let it be in the wonderful name of Jesus as you give us health, strength, and happiness, blessings in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together and we'll dismiss you. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, it was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Do you really feel like there is the band of angels that's coming to carry you home? How many of you really feel like the band of angels from heaven is actually coming to carry you home? The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and deliver us from temptation. Even today I called upon the name of the Lord and I said, God, there's trouble, there's problems, but it is going to be in my favor that you're going to move and all the rest of the resistance is going to fade away into nothing. And God, everything's going to be right. Because it's in the hour of need that we have need of thee. God is the present help in the time of need. Lift your hands up one more time and let's love him. Father, it's in the time of need, in the time of desperation. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, through the sweet, wonderful Holy Ghost, Father, that we feel here tonight in that darling, wonderful name, that we feel the quickening of the Spirit. Heal tonight, save tonight. Father, forgive tonight. Give us that vision. Let us feel that quickening tonight, that wonderful quickening that comes from God. Grant it, oh God, in Jesus' name tonight. Grant it for your glory tonight. Pour out of your Spirit tonight. Let there be blessings. Let there be refreshing. Let there be a wonderful thing in God tonight. I ask for your blessings tonight, Father. I ask for that special strength, that special touch. May it come down from heaven tonight in great, wonderful, loving abundance. I ask it in Jesus' name, Father, for your wonderful glory. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight? I want to sing one more chorus and we're going to ask Brother Benny Carroll to come up and dismiss you right after this course. Let's sing this course, I Love Him. Can you sing it with me?
Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. All because he first loved me. And he purchased purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it one more time when we get. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. All because that you first loved me and you purchased my salvation on Calvary.
One more time, can you?
I love him. Oh, I love him. All because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Somebody say hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's love Jesus. Father, tonight, we love you tonight for your wonderful blessings, for the breaking forth of the wonderful spirit and life of Christ. Dear God, for the resurrection from the dead, knowing that we pass from death unto life tonight, we give thee glory. Oh, great and mighty God of heaven tonight, we do praise thee and we do look unto thee, thanking thee, O God, because we are alive forevermore from the dead tonight, God, and from the grave. May your blessing sweep over us. May your blessing sweep over us. May the great, wonderful Spirit of the living God be with us tonight. Father, once again, I ask you to stretch forth your hand of healing. And, O God, heal tonight. O God, bless tonight. O God, forgive tonight. O God, move by your Spirit tonight throughout the world, not only here at Bethlehem, Father, but may it move throughout the world tonight. And, O God, may that great, wonderful, mighty blessings of God be our portion. I ask it in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Grant it, lead it. Lead us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother Benny Carroll. While Brother Benny comes tonight to pray for us, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and meditate in the laws of the Lord. But I want you to ask God his will for your life. God's got a will for your life. He's got a program. He's got a plan. He wants to use you. He's waiting for the opportunity to do it. I want you to ask him tonight while you've got your eyes closed, God, what is your plan for me? What can I do? God wants to use you tonight. So as Brother Benny comes to pray, examine yourselves tonight and ask God this one thing. Brother Benny Carroll.